Hello, and welcome to Book Reviews Kill, a podcast about fantasy, sci-fi, and horror novels. I'm Evan.
And I'm Chad.
And you're listening to The Friday Forge, a weekly episode where we dismantle short stories, smelt bookish ideas, and hammer out topics brought forth by the Book Reviews Kill community. On today's episode, Chad and I will be discussing our top three reads of 2022 and giving some insight into why those books out of the many we did read are held by us in such high esteem.
What a tasty intro you wrote. That is smelt out. And, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I know it was like an addition to what we were using a couple months ago when we were doing the Friday Forges, but I like it. It was tasty.
Yeah, welcome back to the Friday Forge, everybody. Chad and I took a break from doing these, but they're a big part of our content, and we want to make sure to keep doing them in the year 2023 and beyond. Just so everyone knows, I made a video on TikTok where I ranked my top 20 reads of 2022. So if you've seen that video, you'll already know what my top three reads were, if you do remember. But here on the podcast, I have a bit more time to give you more of my thoughts on each of those. And, you know, we want Chad to be able to discuss his top three reads as well.
Definitely. I hope everyone brought their aprons, tongs, and hammers and their fairy fire so we can forge some true magical weapons during this Friday Forge. Man, I'm just stoked to have him back. I'm a fan of the alliteration. I've always loved the Friday Forge and the Monday Morning Minute. Obviously, we love alliteration here at Book Reviews Kill, but you know, those little clever names, I just love them.
Yeah,
I think it's so spicy.
And yeah, some of these episodes are, you know, this one will be fairly short, but some of them, you know, hour long.
I have a problem with being like, yeah, we're going to try to keep this one really short. I can't tell you how many episodes we've started, and it's been like 11 at night. And it's been like, all right, guys, dude, literally 45 minutes. And then 2 hours later, we're like wrapping up.
Sometimes even longer.
Oh, no, we love
it. But that's what the Patreon is for. We cut out some of the deleted scenes that maybe don't need to really be in the main episode, and we cut them out and put them onto the Patreon. So anybody who's listening, Patreon's really cool. There's a bunch of new content going on there all the time, but let's get focused on this. There were a lot of fantastic books that I read last year, and I know that you did too, Chad. I wish we could sit here and talk about each and every one of them at length, but for today, I think we'll just mention our top three. And Chad, if you'd like to start, the floor is yours. We will do, we'll start each with our number three, and then two, and then one.
Excellent. I specifically didn't watch your TikTok video because I didn't want to spoil the surprise for me. Do you ever feel locked into your answers when you're like, oh man, I want to talk about this one more, even though this one was on a previous top three list? Or is it always just like, yep, no, these are the three?
No, I feel pretty confident about them. The only thing that I'm thinking is like, maybe people have already heard me talk about these three books like at length in like the Monday episodes and stuff because I was so excited about them. But whatever, it's fine. I've got more stuff to say. Right. Whatever.
So with my number three top read of 2022, I'm going to double the number and make it a six because it is the Six of Crows. Because it was just such an awesome book. I loved that book. It was fun. Heist fantasy. If you don't know what Six of Crows is, you'll find it, which I was very surprised when I noticed this, but it was in the young adult section of Barnes & Noble.
I don't think it needs to be there. I think it should be in the adult fantasy section.
It deals with very adult ideas. It's very grisly. I liked it. One of the reasons why I liked it was so dark.
Yeah, it's very dark.
Yeah, and like the interplay between the characters, and I just felt they were really real. You know, like there are grudges being held. There are things in their past that they don't want to talk about. Like they know each other really well, but in a way, not at all, because they all kind of have their guarded side to themselves and they all are protecting their identity in some way. And it's just, I found it very real.
Yeah, I think Leigh Bardugo crushed it with having all these different point of view chapters and having every one of the characters in that book and the one after it, of course, be really distinct from every other character. Like, there was no bleed over with everybody. Every time a new chapter started, I was excited that it was that character's chapter, and it felt right for it to be that character's chapter, like at that part of the book.
Definitely. At no point, and we've talked about this a bunch in books where it's like there's typically that one character gets to there and you're like, ugh, okay, and you're like, I want to get back to this other guy, but this book, nope. Every chapter, every point of view was just fantastic.
I feel like the only thing that I wasn't a huge fan of with that duology is I think that maybe this gets fleshed out a bit more in Shadow and Bone, because I think this is actually it's more what Shadow and Bone is about. But I still haven't read the Shadow and Bone trilogy. But like the magic system, I wish it would have gone into a little bit more detail about what everybody can do exactly.
Yeah, you know? I literally, when you said magic system, I was like, that book has
what? No, it does. It really does. And a good one, a really good one. But I think that's like more of a Shadow and Bone thing. Like Six of Crows is about the heist. It's about the gangs. It's about all of that stuff going on in the city. So that makes sense. It's just in the same world, the Grishaverse.
Is Shadow and Bone with the same characters?
I think there's a character from the beginning of Six of Crows that's in Shadow and Bone, but it's not. It's not the exact same characters, but it's like a lot of the stuff that they're talking about in that duology is from Shadow and Bone, like the lore and some of the events and things like that. So it's all in the same. It's called the Grishaverse, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I really like it when an author gives one of their main characters a like physical deficiency, thus forcing them to kind of be like a mental mastermind, sort of like an Xavier sort type, you know, that has been in a wheelchair, but he's super smart. But I also need a ninja character too. It needs to be offset with a ninja character. And we have that as well. So like really good. So yeah, if you haven't read it, I would definitely recommend it. And what's your number three?
My number three is The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin.
Well, we just went from six to five. Oh, crazy.
Whoa. I didn't even think about that. I wouldn't put the entire trilogy at the number three spot because honestly, The Obelisk Gate really just, it drags the entire trilogy down, in my opinion. It's still really well written, and I think that N.K. Jemisin, her actual line-by-line writing is compulsively readable. I think it's got a nice modern bent to it while also staying in the high fantasy realm and keeping you engaged with this big world that she built up, and especially like the way the characters talk to each other is very, very good. I think that The Obelisk Gate, for me, was just like a lack of action, especially after the maelstrom that is the fifth season. Like, the fifth season is such a strong book on its own, even though it sets up quite a bit in the very end, which makes you have to keep reading. You can't just read the fifth season. It's not a standalone book, but it's good enough that if it's the only one you did get to, you would not be able to get the answers that you want, but you would. It's, I feel like all the excitement is in that first book. There's a lot of excitement at the very end of the third book.
Right.
And there's a pretty good rising action in book two, but the fifth season, for anybody that's curious, it is geological fantasy, which is such a, I say it all the time when I'm talking about this, because it's such a fun couple of words to stack next to each other.
What, geological fantasy?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's basically about this planet that is super volatile, like the tectonic plates, like physically, like the actual geography of geology. Of the world, it's just at any point the world can end in like a cataclysm, and it has many times before. But there's like this group of people called Origines that are kind of really connected and in tune with the earth and able to kind of manipulate it and keep everybody safe, but they're kind of looked down on by society as well. And it's just the whole mix of like this kind of like oppressed class of people whose efforts are being exploited for another like ruling class of people is such an amazing thing to read about in this big high fantasy setting with giant obelisks like floating in the sky.
Tons of mystery interwoven in there.
Yeah, the way that N.K. Jemisin kind of just, the very beginning of the book, I had no idea what was going on at all. I almost put it down because I was just like, this, if the rest of the book reads like this, I cannot do it with this. But she did it in a way where you're not supposed to know what's going on. You're supposed to be tripped out. You're supposed to be weirded out. And then we kind of like bring it down a little bit and bring it back. And we kind of like, you know, come down to earth and look at one or two or three really important characters. And then all of their storylines coalesce and work together. And then the mystery kind of like deepens and unfolds at the same time. Seriously, if you haven't read it, go check that book out. It's very, very good. And then the rest of the series is totally worth a read, in my opinion.
And with the mystery, you have to.
With the mystery, I had to know what was going on and why things were the way that they were. But, you know, it's just my opinion. But I don't think it's a very consistent trilogy as far as an excitement factor. The interest factor never goes away. Ever.
No, it was very interesting. And like, it was a very good, you know, it was a tale about like sacrifice, and it was a really good vehicle and medium for talking about like a real world issue in the environment of a fantasy novel. You know, it butts up to some very, very large topics and conversations that should be had. And so it was a fun way of doing that, I thought. So I'm getting your thoughts out there, which I respect a lot.
What's your number two?
My number two was The Black Tin Thief. That I just finished.
Oh, okay.
I just been thinking about it so much.
If it's your number two read,
I was really undecided on my number two. I almost put in like Jade City, though you'd think like number two would become number three, but I'd already had number three decided. So I was like,
Jade City
was so good. It's not on my list, but very good. But I mean, The Black Tongue Thief, I just enjoyed the hell out of reading that book. The character I resonated with, he's kind of a rogue. He's definitely a rogue, like in both class and the personality. Yeah, he's a thief. Yeah.
he's also like
I don't know if anyone's ever read Fool by Christopher Moore.
I just got that in the mail.
Really?
Somebody sent that to me for Christmas. Yeah. It's like right back here. Yeah.
It is so good. And the way that the main character speaks in that book is like how I wish I could speak. Maybe not like the old Englishness of it, but the cleverness with which he pieces, the wittiness that he weaves into his dialogue. And it's just the Black Tongue Thief's main character is just like that. Not quite as witty as the fool character, but it is very good. And then the character or the world, which I know I complained about in a podcast of being like, there's so much world.
I almost thought you didn't like it because you were just like, this is so much. This is almost too much.
I was still right in the first third or so, and the world, I was very new to the world.
You were overwhelmed.
And I was overwhelmed. There's so much world. And then the world it's so fleshed out that it's like each world has like different slang. And the main character is really into language and stuff. And so he likes to use the slang from other pieces of the nations and all the things, all the continent and countries around him. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know about this like cultural subtext joke in this culture. And then they told me once way a long time ago, and they're using it now, and it's supposed to mean something to me, but I don't get it. But by the end, they had used those ones enough that I was on the same page as them, so it did actually add meaning to it. But yeah, it's if that's bogging you down, don't let it, because it quickly becomes a thing that's second nature and it doesn't really matter. And the story is awesome and changes, and it was just very, very good. And there is more to be told on that story. It's only one of I don't know how many books about it that are coming out, but they do accomplish the thing that they kind of set out to do at the beginning. Like, there's a lot of movement in it, and so it could kind of be its own standalone novel. Obviously it ends with like a "and now we need to go do this next thing," which relates to the thing we just did, but they do the thing. So it is rather complete. I wouldn't say that you're starting something that's you're getting into a question that's unanswered.
Did you know that Christopher Buhlmann is a playwright as well? And
that makes sense.
He developed an act while working in Renaissance festivals called Christoph the Insulter, where he roasted fairgoers for money at the behest of their friends. And he was touring with that act for 25 years.
What?
Yeah. So,
wow.
So he is a performer. Like,
he's
so
a professional insulter.
Yeah, he like took that. It's like wit from.
He is cool.
Yeah, he's like wit from Stormlight Archive.
Yeah. Same character. Yeah.
He's got some really well regarded poetry. He is a performer to his core. He's like a troubadour. So like, it makes a lot of sense that he'd be able to craft such an in depth world with such an interesting, witty character like that. Man, I need to read it.
And there's songs and there's poetry in it, and there's like plays that people have been like hung for, you know, because they make fun of this nation's whatever. He's like, oh, that's a dangerous song to sing in this neighborhood sort of thing. And there's a lot of that makes a lot of sense knowing that fits well.
Well, Christopher Buhlmann wrote Between Two Fires, which was one of my favorite books from 2021, and you should read Between Two Fires. Like, really,
you mentioned it before, but not
it is in, incredible. It's so good.
It's going on the list.
Cool. Put it on there.
It's going on the list. Hit me with your number two.
My number two was book two of The Books of Babel by Josiah Bancroft, which was The Arm of the Sphinx. You know, it's funny because I didn't love Sen Lenacens. I liked Sen Lenacens just fine. I thought it was good, but it felt like a lot of short stories kind of stacked on top of each other. Hmm. And it didn't feel like this super interesting. Interesting is not the right word. It just didn't feel like a very engaging story up until the end. And then everything kind of like came together and made a lot of sense, and it was cool. But then with Arm of the Sphinx, Senlin was way more developed. The mystery of the tower was way more developed. There's so much more action. Senlin is plotting way more. He's taking so much more initiative. He's such a way more interesting character, and like Adam is more interesting. Edith becomes a way more interesting character and really kind of steals the show. And then the whole end sequence of it really sets up the next two books in such an awesome way. I mean, that whole quartet of books are some of the best books I read the entire year. I think I said it was my favorite series of the year. Book three was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot. And then book four was even more, but it was a nice conclusion to everything. But book two took a really cool idea that was book one and just catapulted it into how good the series was and continued to be consistently. It just set the tone for the rest of the series, in my opinion. It's like a perfect fantasy book, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it has the group, right? Like, the group is formed by that point, but like barely. So you have this evolution. Yeah, of this like connection. Like, there's trust that's growing. There's distrust between them still. Like, there's some history there that needs to be like cleaned up and forgiven. And just, man, that's a solid, solid two pick.
Seriously, if anybody's listening right now and you haven't read Books of Babel, let me just try to pitch it to you real quick. It's like steampunky fantasy, but it's all localized to one really mysterious and really unique setting, and it stays there the entire time, but you're also moving to different locales constantly while you're there,
and you never figure it out. You're never like, oh, this is about this. Like, no, you don't know.
And the point of view characters start one way, they get another way, and then they get to be a different way. And then they get
their
to
growth
be
is their ginormous. Growth is,
and the way that the growth between those characters is affected by the growth of the other characters. And
right.
It's so, man, I want to have Josiah Bancroft back on here just so I can tell him how amazing his series was all over again.
Right.
But anyway, that was my book two.
I'm going to link this with my number one because
no way.
Yeah, because it's The Senlan Ascends, the first book of that. Because I wanted to pick, you said I couldn't pick a series as my favorite book.
Yeah, it had to be one book.
I had to pick one of the four. I literally went from like, okay, I think two is my favorite. No, I think three was my favorite. No, I think one was my favorite. No, I think four. And I just finally landed on one because it introduced me. It was the on-ramp to that whole world. Yeah. I totally get what you're saying, though, that it did feel like a little bit of a bit of scenes stacked together, like a bunch of shorts kind of pushed in together. Because one of the cool things about the Tower of Babel is I really like a fresh environment to have the story take place in. And this tower is so massive. You know, it's like hundreds of stories tall. You can't even see the top from the bottom. It's miles in circumference. It's ginormous. And each level of it, each ringdom is what it's called, is a new empire, is a new area, is a new environment. Some of them are jungle, some of them are water, some of them are just city. And it's just all you have to do in order to get to a whole brand new stage that is already set with a new culture, a new everything for your characters to evolve and the story to take place in, is just go up a flight of stairs, so to speak, or sail up them, however you want to do it.
Does it bum you out when you read a first book in a series and you can, and then you keep reading more of them, but you still like the first one more? Or what do you think about? Does it depend on the series for you?
Yes, and yes, it does depend on the series. This one that didn't really happy with, like, I have so much time. I wouldn't say like the fourth one was way less good than the first one. I kind of like to see them as all one. That's which is why I had so much trouble picking which one and why I landed on one. So I wouldn't be like, it was the rest after one was disappointing. Like, no, it just kept getting awesomer.
Like the first one
the
was
characters.
A 10 and then the rest were 9.5s or something.
Yeah,
like that.
You know, and I appreciated the first one. It's like I said, it was the on ramp to my favorite story, my favorite series of all time, which is the Books of Babel. It was.
I'm so happy that I introduced you to your favorite series of all time. Wow. I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah, you nailed that pick. I really resonated with the story. It was so fresh and new and nothing unlike anything that I had ever read before. The like you mentioned before, but just so strong and well woven into the story was the progression of the characters, but also their relationships with each other and how that relationship affected each one's own individual progression. And it has some of my favorite characters of all time, like the butler Stag.
Oh yeah, Byron.
Yeah. He's like so awesome. Didn't take himself too seriously, and it seemed like everything in it was the opening sentence to a much deeper philosophical conversation.
Yeah, there was a lot to unpack in that series.
Yeah, there was all these little things that you're like, oh wow, he's trying to like, he's teasing us with this huge philosophical like idea, and he's just like tasting on it, and then you move on. It was just such a nibble fest of just delicious little tidbits. I loved it so much.
I can't
wait
to reread those books.
Same.
And I'm definitely going to in the next.
And if you're an
years.
Audiobook lover, the audiobook guy, John something.
John Banks.
John Banks, man, he kills. He kills so hard. And then we had the author on, and about three emails in, because we emailed back and forth for a while prior to the interview, about three emails in, Josiah Bancroft and I, both like in the same point, I think, realized like, oh, we're just like very similar people. Like, we're like soul sisters, and yeah, we just are really like the same person. You just are way older and have far more accolades than I do, Mr. Bancroft. So yeah, I loved him a lot, and I loved his books, and I love his brain. So if you haven't read those, I couldn't recommend them more.
In the spirit of not turning this into another Books of Babel podcast episode, because we already have four of those and an interview with the author, I'll let you know what my number one is. It is Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. That's my number one. And I am so glad that I held out making a big list of my favorite reads until the last couple weeks of the year, because that's when I read this book. Had seen some reviews by some people whose opinions I really respect on the internet, and they were just gushing about it. And so I bought it, and then it sat on my shelf for like 3 months, 4 months. Like, I kind of knew what it was about, but I just wasn't in the mood to read like literary fiction that, you know, just I didn't want to read something that didn't have laser guns and dragons and everything in it. But I'm so happy that I read that book, because of all the books that I read in 2022, that one resonated with me the hardest. It was the one that I felt immediately connected to the characters and the situation. The writing was very, very good. The pacing was great. There was never a dull moment in that book where I felt like, oh my God, just get on with it. Like, this is so boring. Like, no.
Isn't it in a modern day setting?
It takes place in like the mid to late 90s and into the early 2000s.
Okay.
A lot of people would consider the late 90s and early 2000s as the golden age of video games, or at least the platinum age or whatever, the best era of video games. And I'm sure a lot of people listening would totally disagree with that. I kind of disagree with it, but I've seen that sentiment a lot. There's a lot of really amazing games came out in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Totally.
And that's what this book is about. It's about video games, but more than anything, it's about collaboration and friendship and like taking on a project with somebody that you are really close with, and how the process of making art with another person shapes that friendship and changes that friendship, and also changes you as a person. A good example is this podcast that you and I do together. We are extremely fortunate that our personalities mesh well enough together that we can work through all of the issues that have come up in the last year of us making this podcast.
And we trust each other enough that if we're like having bad days, we don't just think like, F that guy, and resent each other forever. We talk about it and move on.
But we've also had difficult conversations.
Absolutely.
Like behind the scenes, where we've had to really like, it has been a test of our friendship to go into this together and do this. And the same thing happened with me when I was in a really active rock band for almost a decade, where we started out as best friends, and then going through the process of having a band completely crash and burn.
I wouldn't say that you guys completely crashed and burned. You just got to a point where it was like, we need to move on with other areas of our lives. Yeah,
we had to stop.
Because, I mean, they went on, like, Evan's crash and burn, they went on multiple European tours. You toured the nationwide. Like, you were not entirely unsuccessful.
Right, but like every time we went on tour, it like completely ruined my life, and I had to like pick up the pieces and like, you know, I was so poor all the time, and I don't regret a second of it at all. But it's interesting how when you're doing stuff like that, and when you're collaborating with other people on artistic projects or even non-artistic projects, just projects in general, whenever you're collaborating with other people,
something you're passionate about,
it has a tendency to bring out the worst in you. Because you are a flexible, like, watery person, just like the other people that you're working with. And you have your good days and you have your bad days. And it doesn't always line up with other people. And what you want to do and your work ethic and your ideas and your vision for what you think this thing should be, that's changing in a constant state of flux, just like everybody else's is. And so keeping that consistent vision and then having a cohesive and like well-communicated plan of attack when you're really, really young and you don't understand how to communicate and process your own emotions and things like that. And like, that's what this book is about. You know, it's like,
something you both care about, like care enough almost to die on the hill sometimes, and two people doing that at the same time, well, that's a hard thing to get past.
Yeah. And not to mention, I mean, like there's a whole part about like sticking to what you believe in when it comes to like what you're putting into your art, regardless of how it's going to be perceived publicly. In the book, I'm not trying to spoil anything, but in the book, they make some decisions that really upset other people that they're trying to sell the game to, or at least just the public at large. And they have to work through that in a way that's extremely emotional. And it's just, I know exactly what that feels like when you're like, this feels like the right thing to do. It feels like the right thing to say.
I'm also a little bit afraid.
I'm a little bit worried about like how this is going to turn out. And then I also know the feeling of putting so much of your time into something and then like watching it fail, you know, and that happens in this book too. And it's just, seriously, everybody, like if you are an artistic person, or if you are even a semi-industrious person and you feel like you collaborate with other people that you would consider to be your friends, even in like a workspace or an artistic space or any space like that, you really should read this book, because it touched me in a way where I felt so much for these characters, and it was so cathartic to watch a character be such an asshole because I have been, you know what I mean? I've been the worst guy, and I've said such hurtful things to people that I care about because of how I feel about the project we're working on together, which is not the way to go, you know?
But at the same time, you need to be honest. Like, don't be a dick.
Right.
But
I know,
you know,
it's
you
hard.
Need to
it's
say
a really
what
hard
you
line
mean
to
and
walk.
What you think, you know? So I think, as someone who's worked extensively with you, I think that you've landed on a good spot of doing it, because, you know, we have had some difficult times, and every time that we've had that, we've dealt with it, I think, pretty maturely, and it's only strengthened our friendship.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm responsible for my reaction and my emotions to how this is all going, you know, and that's a lesson that I had to learn through not acting like that in other situations. And this book just did a really good job at kind of encapsulating that. I don't know if that's exactly what Gabrielle Zivin was trying to do with this book. I would love to have her on the podcast and like talk about what the intentions behind the writing was, but that's what I got out of it. And I think that at the end of the day, I mean, authorial intent is really important, but also just as important, if not, in my opinion, a little bit more important, is what you're able to glean out of that work, because you're the one that's reading it. So I'm so happy that I did read it. And, you know, I'm not even, it's funny because like I run a fantasy podcast. I run a fantasy thing. It's all fantasy, sci-fi, genre fiction, stuff like
that. That's why
I
was surprised it was so like modern day. I was like, really?
Yeah,
wow, it's your favorite one? Wow.
It was my favorite. It was just one of those things, you know. It's just sometimes a book comes along and it just clicks immediately, and it just makes sense. And I'm not saying that every single person that I'm recommending it to, it's going to be your favorite book. You might hate it. You might.
Right.
I mean, I've seen reviews for it where people were like, this should have never been written. And it's so, shut up.
Yeah, get out of here. Like, go read one of the 400 other million books that are out there. But like, or go write one yourself, you know. I don't know. It's a good lesson to learn that even if you have a preferred setting, a preferred book, like archetype, if you will, and you tend to always gravitate towards that type of story, in that setting with those type of characters, accomplishing that type of goal, then like, I don't know, it's good to get out of there a little bit, because you never know when you're going to stumble across a gem like that, that you absolutely hugely resonate with, shines light on like real things that you've experienced, and can remind you of some really good things and help you grow as a person. You know, like, I don't know, there's never, I guess what I'm saying to summarize would be, never judge where you think you can find value and what you think you'll glean out of something until you've actually been there and done it and read it or consumed it or whatever.
Yeah. Branch out. Go read everything. Like, this year I'm reading a bunch of classics, and last year I didn't want to do that at all. You know, I was like, if I want to read one of these, I'll just like look up what it's about later or something.
Right.
I mean? But that's not, I've decided, you know, I'm going to branch out a little bit more. I'm going to read some other stuff that's older, maybe a little more challenging, and give myself that challenge and branch out of my comfort zone a little bit more. You know, like, reading more diversely is a huge thing that I'm trying to do this year, that I know you're trying to do this year. And I encourage everybody else that's listening right now, like, branch out, read books by people of color, read books by indigenous people, read books by gay people, asexual people, transgender people. Like, get out there and read other people's lived experiences. It's so awesome. Like, it's so great to read about how other people are living, the lessons that they've learned, the things that they've observed, and then apply it to your own life, and then gain appreciation for those communities too. And you can do it all through really exciting stories. Like, that's the coolest part about it, is that you can be entertained, and it can have a positive influence on your life, And you can be supporting marginalized communities all at the same time. Just do it.
So it's an awesome medium for like growth, like and experiencing someone else's lives. Like you can walk in the shoes of someone else. You know, I read a research study once that was done that showed that people who read fictional stories specifically were far more empathetic than people who don't, because they've experienced so many other people's lives. So they can kind of naturally see, or they have a easier way of looking at it from another's perspective. And, you know, just because it's about dragons and magic doesn't mean that that author hasn't woven real world experiences and real world lessons and like growth things into their book. So,
God, I love reading. It's the coolest. And I'm so excited to continue reading more books with you this year and all of our wonderful listeners that are along for the ride with us. Everybody, we're going to wrap this episode up. Definitely keep tuning in for the Friday Forge, where Chad and I will keep discussing and going on more deep dives and answering the questions that you have for the podcast.
Forging on.
We definitely will. Chad, thank you so much for your list of books. It's awesome to know what has really clicked with you this year. And I look forward to this time next year when we can discuss our favorite reads of 2023.
Same. I was just looking through my notes and I saw my favorite books of 2021. Thing in there from the previous year, and it was cool to see that I had one for this year too, and so I'm looking forward to next year. And thank you for just everything and being an awesome enough friend to work with me and both set up a awesome project where we can express ourselves and get to interact with this cool community. So thank you everybody as well.
Hopefully our friendship isn't ruined by it.
Yeah, you know? Right. No, I hate that guy so much.
I think that's on us.
Yeah, that's on
we
us.
We have a burden to bear or a weight to bear.
Yes.
That. And I'm happy to carry it.
I carry it happily.
Everybody, we really appreciate your time and you listening to this episode and all of our episodes. And I hope you have an awesome rest of your day. And of course, happy reading.
Bye, everybody.